Thank you for listening to the City of Refuge Sermon Podcast, where our mission is equipping disciples of all nations to make disciples of all nations. Please visit us at cityofrefuge.org.
Well, every Sunday afternoon, I try to take a nap. I'm a Sunday afternoon nap guy. It kind of sets me up for the rest of the week. But this past week, on Sunday, how many of y'all have ever had a dream so vivid that it woke you up, like startled you awake? Anybody ever a dream like that? So I was taking my nap, and I had a dream about death, like death was imminent. And this is, again, if you remember Sunday afternoon. And I woke up just startled and so heavy that I messaged the elders here at the Refuge and asked them to pray for spiritual warfare. I just sense it's coming and it's here, and you know, both death and division, all the things that enemy does, steal, kill, and destroy. And I said to them, because I didn't know how to explain, like, it's kind of creepy, you know, like, I know, I'm like, I've had a dream, you know, and they're like, okay, whatever. Anyway, but I said, hey, would you be praying for just spiritual warfare going on? So then, like many of you all, I went to bed Sunday night, and I was up at about 4:30, 5 o'clock on Monday morning. And my normal routine, I'm in the one-year Bible, and then I have a devotional by Paul Tripp I go through, and have a little thing I pray through. I pray for family members and for the elders here and deacons and others. And then, while I drink a cup of tea and usually chew on a protein bar of some sort, I'll watch the news, CNN.com or something on my computer. And that morning at about 5:30 in the morning, it was 20 dead, 200 injured in Las Vegas shooting. And again, I didn't know if it was connected to the dream I had just had that afternoon the day before, but it just crushed me. And so I got in my car and came to City Refuge, and I got here between 6:15 like I normally do. And I was sitting there, and I turned on YouTube, and I subscribed to CBS News, ABC, and all the major news channels. So I was watching their live stream coverage of what was going on there in Las Vegas. Anybody else? Were y'all doing the same thing Monday morning, right, whether radio or maybe on the internet? And so I was sitting there watching, and on one particular news station on YouTube, they were live streaming their broadcast, but they had the chat room open as well. So they were allowing people to comment on the story as it was going on. And so horrific as what happened in Las Vegas was, what was even more horrific were the comments that people were making as the news was breaking. And it was crazy. Like, people were commenting, and again, behind that was of the N-word, kind of the internet world. People were saying, all violence in America is because of the N-word, is what somebody said. They were attacking Muslims and supremacists and Democrats, Republicans, and they were making all these statements. As we're watching the death toll rise, as we're seeing more and more families coming saying, that was my sister, that was my brother, as we see the number of injuries rise, the comments in this section were just baffling to me, that so much hatred and division was being spewed by people as they're watching what you and I were watching that Monday morning. Are y'all with me? And so I thought to myself, this isn't no longer the United States of America. We've really become, in essence, the divided states of America, divided along political lines, racial lines, and other ideologies. But here's the thing that bothered me more, and you've heard this from last week, is we cannot allow the church to be divided. Are y'all with me? So the world that we live in, the nation we live in, even the city or the country, can be divided, but this kingdom called God's kingdom, seen in the church, cannot be divided. Are y'all with me? And the enemy is doing what he can to try to divide the church along political lines, racial lines, ideological lines. Are y'all with me? And so what I want to look at today is the glue, the bond that holds one body together, the church together. All right? And it's in Ephesians chapter 3. What is the glue that holds the church, this one church together, black and white, Jew and Gentile? What is this glue that holds us together? What's the glue that holds us together? And for those of you, this is the glue that holds your small group together. This is the glue that holds this church together. This is the glue that holds Christian friendships together. This is the glue that holds Christian marriages together. And so if you apply what we look at today, this will not only help this church, our church in America, the Church Universal, but it'll help your small group, it'll help your Christian friendships, it'll help your Christian marriage as well. So we're in Ephesians chapter 3 to look at this glue that holds the church together, that keeps us united. And this is what Paul does. Paul begins with prayer. He says this in verse 14. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father. So first thing he mentions is he's about to go into prayer, and it's not the typical Jewish standing prayer, but he's so intense about this prayer that he's on his knees. And he's going before God the Father, and he says in verse 15, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. What he's saying there is that God is the ultimate Father. He's the Father of fathers, that every family has a father of origin, but God is the origin of every single family. So he's saying, I'm going to the source, to God the Father himself. And what is he praying for? Verse 16, that he would grant you and I, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. Here's point number one, letter A, to pray that God will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Pray that God will strengthen you, not with physical strength to bench press more, lift more, but he says to give you this inner strength, that as you and I are walking in this world and walking with the Lord, we're going to need strength and internal fortitude. So the thing he prays for is something internal, this internal strength. And then he says the reason why, verse 17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you being rooted and grounded in love. So B is this, that Christ will make his home in your heart as you trust in him. So he says, the first thing he prays for you and I, if we put our faith in Christ, totally forgot this, sorry. So this is my visual for today. So this is like a picture of the church, often a divided church. There's oil and water. Can y'all see that? Oil and water. And so what we try to do in our divided nation is we try to shake it up for a while so that it kind of looks united. Y'all see that? So it's now like cloudy water. And so we keep putting effort into it to try to keep us together, right? Because naturally what's going to happen is the oil and water are going to separate, right? The oil is going to float to the top, the water will sink to the bottom. Keep an eye on that. That's what's going to happen. So he says that Christ will make his home in your heart. What does he mean by that? He's talking about intimacy. He's talking about intimacy. That not only would you and I put our faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior, and not only he's our King that we pursue, he's our President that we follow and we serve, but also that you would have an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, that he would be at home inside your life. If you remember, there's a classic book by Robert Munger called My Heart, Christ's Home. And in it, he talks about this typical home, and he says, like many of us, when we invite people to our home, we have levels of intimacy. Are y'all with me? Let me try to illustrate that for you. For those of you who don't have levels of intimacy or understand what that means. How many of y'all have friends or family that when they come over to your house, they have unlimited access to your house? Like unlimited access. They can go in any room, open the fridge, any of that stuff. Anybody? Unlimited access, right? So you have people like that? How many of y'all have limited access friends and family, right? Okay, if they're sitting by you, would you point to them like right now? Wow, that's bold back there. Dario is limited access. So this is why we limit access. When my wife and I have like people coming over, you know, sometimes it'll be a surprise. So we're like, throw all the garbage and dirty clothes in that room, right? Put everything in that closet. So then we'll be polite saying, make yourself at home. But please don't go in that room over here, because you see all the dirty clothes and all the homework and everything that's just been left out, right? It's just not just us, right? Is y'all do that too? Y'all do that too, right? No, okay. Lord, we just repent of lying right now in Jesus' name, right? We confess it, we admit it. Or in this instance, right, y'all had this, like if you got little kids coming over to your house, so then you'll put all the dangerous stuff up, right? The guns and knives and all the like electrical gadgets, right? You put all that up, right? Are y'all with me? So we'll say, hey, you can go in anywhere in this house, but please avoid the museum, which is like this room over here. Don't let your kids in there because they'll break stuff. Are y'all with me? And we tend to do that with Jesus Christ as well. We'll say, Jesus, I invite you to the room I need the most help in. Like if your social life is a mess, Jesus, come into my social life room, into the den, come and hang out with me. But then what we also do is we say, but Jesus, this room is off limits. The study where we keep all the money and do all the banking stuff and pay the bills, That's off limits. That's off limits. We got that. That's our money, right? Well, when it comes to like perhaps your sexual room or your TV room or other parts, you're like, that's off limits, Jesus. What he's saying here is to give Jesus access to your total life, total intimacy, to make Christ at home in your life. So you can truly say to Jesus, make yourself at home. No room is off limits. And then he says this, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints, verse 18, what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Letter C, that you may have the power to understand the love of Christ. And I would say the incomprehensible love of Christ. He says you can't understand the love of Christ, but my prayer is that you would understand this unconditional, radical love of Christ. That's letter C. But then D, not only that you understand it and you can learn and know about it, but D, that you would experience it as well, that you may experience the love of Christ. That day in, day out, moment by moment, whether we're singing songs about it or not, you would say, you know what, I know that Jesus Christ loves me. Mom may not love me, my boss may not love me, no one at church may love me, but I know that Jesus Christ loves me. That you would experience the love of Christ. And then finally he says at the end of verse 19, so that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Letter E, that you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. And that word, filled with the fullness, is passive, just like in Ephesians 5:18, where it says, be filled with the Spirit. It means basically allow God to fill you. The moment you put your faith in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. Galatians 5 tells us so. There's a battle between the flesh and the Spirit. They're at war. And the flesh is that part of you that still says, you can live without God. You can make it without God. You can do it without God. And the flesh and the Spirit are constantly battling. The flesh is saying, you control the outcome. You control the relationship. You control work. It's all about you. And the Spirit's saying, allow me to fill you. Allow me to guide you, to lead you. And what he's saying is, allow the Spirit to fill you. And if you do these things, you are going to find that you will grow in this thing that unites us, that bonds us, that glues us together. So it's much like this. So God the Spirit lives inside of you. You must decrease, He must increase. And as that happens, there's going to be a natural outcome. And we're going to look at that here in a second. A natural outcome when what's inside of you begins to take more and more of your life. When Jesus Christ becomes at home in your life. When no room inside your life is off limits. Something happens. How many of y'all in here remember? Carol, do you remember when Carolyn was pregnant with your kids? Do you remember, Ellen, when you were pregnant? When my wife was pregnant, what she did passively was allow this little baby inside of her to grow fuller and fuller inside of her, right? Just like this passage. Y'all, I'm going somewhere. Don't look at me strange. That this baby inside of her, this life inside of her, began to take up more and more inside of her. And this is what happened when that happened. My wife's taste began to change. She didn't sit there one day and say, you know what, I've read in books before about pregnancy, that when you're pregnant, you begin to crave strange foods. One day, like at 11 o'clock at night, we're in bed, and she hits me, and she says, can you go to Burger King and get me fries and vanilla shake? And I'm like, okay. So I got her a vanilla shake at the drive-thru because she was pregnant. That's what she's craving. So her taste changed. As she got more and more full with this baby, even her walk began to change, right? Are y'all with me? I'm going somewhere with this, all right? When we got married, she talked about school. And I said, hey, you know what we should think about one day is homeschooling. And she's like, no. But next thing you know, as she's pregnant, she's reading different books. And now she's talking about homeschooling in school. Even what she thought about and talked about began to change. All because she began to get more and more full on the inside with this new life. And what Paul is saying here is, and he's praying for you and I about, is that God the Spirit would occupy more and more of our lives, and we get fuller and fuller in capacity with Him. And he says, if that happens, there's going to be an outward visible change. You're going to change. And he says, all you have to do is allow the Spirit to fill you to the fullest. What is that change? Here's point number two. It's not in the text here, but it's connected to the sermon before and even what Keith talked about a few weeks ago. Verse 2, so that you all of you will be united in one body And here's the glue. Christ's love unites us. It's the love of Jesus Christ that spans breadth and height and all that, where it talks about in verse 18, the breadth and length and height and depth, that it reaches both Jew and Gentile. There's no limits to this love, its reach and its capacity. He said, it's the love of Christ that unites us. And if you and I get more full with the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit gets more of our lives, and we give more ourselves, he says, what you're going to find is you're going to grow in that love. So here's what unites us. Letter A, we have the common master, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a common master. Only Christ is the head of the church. We have a common master, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we have a common mission, B, the Great Commission, Matthew 28. So we have a common master, Jesus Christ. We have a common mission. But that's great and all that, because football teams have the one coach and they have one mission, win the Super Bowl, and they have one coach. But what is it that differentiates us? And that's what we looked at in verses 14 through 19. The means is Christ's love. Christ's love is what unites us, what keeps us glued together. And as we grow deeper and richer and fuller in God, as He takes over more of our lives, we will naturally, the outcome is become more loving people. And here's my thing. I think most local churches are designed this way. Most local churches, you go to church with people that you like. You go to church with people that you like and that are alike. They vote the same way, same taste, same education, same socioeconomics. So that when you come together, everyone is like, I like these people. I like these people. But what Christ is talking about here, or Paul's talking about here, is Christ's love. That we have to love one another even though we're different ethnicities, cultures, we vote differently, and we get on each other's nerves. I don't know about you, but there are people, Christians, good, loving Christians that get on my nerve. All right? None of you all here, just to be safe. And that's where love has to come into play. Where you can love people beyond their faults and differences. Beyond liking and affinity. Beyond voting the same way. And he says that is the glue that holds a Christian marriage together. That's the glue that holds a small group together. That's a glue that holds Christian friendships together. That's the glue that holds this church together. And that's the glue that should hold the church universal, Jew and Gentile, black and white, together. Look at two books over, Colossians 3. This is my devotional reading this week in the one-year Bible. Colossians 3. And you can tell Paul is getting ready to set up for chapters 4 and on, 4, 5, and 6, where he gets into more practical application, the outworkings of all these talked about. Colossians 3, very similar to Ephesians, obviously the same author, Paul. Colossians 3, 9. If you're there, would you say, you don't get on my nerves, Pastor Icky? Thank you. Colossians 3:9. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed, or who's being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. Verse 11, a renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free man, but Christ is all and in all. Verse 12, so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Verse 13, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Now some translations say this in verse 14, above all else, or to sum things up, verse 14, beyond all these things, put on what? Love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in where? Your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful, and let the word of Christ richly dwell, fill you up within you with all wisdom and teaching, and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. So he says there clearly in verse 14, that this bond, this glue, is Christ's love. So that all of you will be united in one body. The means is Christ's love. And again, Keith shared this a couple weeks ago, I think 2 weeks ago. He said he was an Uber, and his Uber driver is a Christian, and they hit it off. And that's the thing that we have as Christians. How many of y'all have ever like run to a Christian at work or school or like neighbor, anybody, right? And you're like, oh, you're a Christian, right? Wouldn't it be easier to, I thought of this in first service, if we had like a secret handshake, like, hey. Oh, hey, all right. You're a Christian, right? So I had that this week. I just got back from running, and I was getting ready to go somewhere at 5:30. I get back at 5. I need to take a shower. My neighbor, who's Indian, Asian Indian, is like, hey. And I'm like, hey, right? And he's like, hey, come here. I'm like, okay, come on over here. And then he's like, hey, I talked to your wife the other day. I heard you're a Christian. You're a pastor. I'm like, I am. He said, did you know that there's a Christian that lives over here? There's a pastor that lives over here. And he's named all these pastors that live in our area, right? And we hit it off like long-lost brothers simply because, and he's older than me, different ethnic groups, you know, but he was, or different cultures, because of our commonality in Christ. So it's Christ's love that bonds us together. And that's what bonds this church together. So here's the thing. The enemy of our souls, the devil himself, is going to seek to divide the church universal, to seek to divide this group, to seek to divide our elder board, your small group. And we have to be filled to all fullness with the Spirit. And in doing that, the outcome is to love with Christ's love. In the midst of offenses and people getting on your nerves and lies and all that, to love one another. Go back to Ephesians 3. Let's wrap up. Ephesians 3. So this is how Paul ends it. He ends it with a doxology, which is kind of common for Paul. Really, a doxology should be at the end, these words of glory or words of praise. And he says this in verse 20, now to him who's able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. What is Paul talking about here that's beyond what we ask and pray for? Far beyond, far, far, great beyond. What he's praying about and giving God praise about is this one church, this one body. He's saying, if you were to ask your Jewish great-grandparents that one day God is going to have this thing called the church where black and white, Jew and Gentile, Aggie and Longhorn, Republican, Democrat would all be in one body together, your great-grandparents would have said, that is crazy talk. Like, I can't even imagine that. And that's what Paul's saying here. That's what God is doing in this church, exceedingly abundantly, of all we can ask or think according to the power that works within us. And he gives us a reason to praise God. So here's point three. Praise God because he's able to do way more than we ask. And the example he's giving is this one body. This thing called the church. Not Jewish faith 2.0, like Jewish faith improved. He's saying, I started something new called the church. And in it, Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians, black and white, will come together to worship and serve God together. And if you'd asked your grandparents that, they wouldn't have believed this would have happened. It would have blown their minds. I had this situation this last Sunday. So this past Sunday was Communion Sunday. And I prayed with somebody who was visiting the church. She was Asian, female, didn't know what, you know, cultural background. Found out she was Korean. And the way I found out was through social media. So Monday morning, like many of you all, I'm watching the news, Las Vegas, you know, death toll rising, injured rising. They're trying to find out what happened. I'm on Twitter and I'm on Facebook. And on Twitter, someone posts this. I had the most, I can't remember verbatim, unusual experience yesterday at church. A Japanese pastor prayed for me. My grandparents would have been blown away by that. And so here was this Korean female being prayed for by a Japanese pastor, Korean Christian, Japanese Christian. And if you know the history, Japan occupied Korea. They colonized Korea. They raped and pillaged. They did all kinds of horrific things in Korea. So Japan and Korea do not have a good relationship. So this young lady who came to visit last Sunday worship with us, if she had told her grandparents, like, hey, one day I'm going to go to a church with a Japanese pastor because I believe that in Christ we've all become one. Her grandparents would have said, number one, we're going to write you out the will. You're out the will now, right? And number two, they would have said, that would never, ever happen. Ever happen. And many of you all who are in here who look at me right now grew up perhaps in an ethnic church. And if you told, you know, your grandparents, hey, I remember I was raised in a black church, but now I'm going to this multi-ethnic church. I was raised Catholic, and now I'm going to this multi-ethnic one-body church. They would have said, you are out of your mind. But you know what? God is in the business of doing things that blow your mind. Are y'all with me? I know for me, when I was, I became Christian age 16, I'm 46 now, 30 years ago, age 16, I had my life all planned out. You know, God, I'm going to do this and this, and I had my life all planned out. And it was a pretty nice story, you know, a pretty great story. But I remember, and imperfect as I was, I yielded to God. I said, God, I don't want to control the outcome and control the thing. I'm just going to yield myself to you. You're my Lord. You're my King. By your grace, I'm going to walk in step with you. And at age 46, from 16, 30 years, I'm telling you, God has done incredible things in my life that I could not have planned, ordained, or anything in my own power. It's all God. And you know, just like Paul says, who I give glory to for that? It's God. God did it. And so if you're here today and you're saying, you know what? The more I try to control my life, control the outcome, control the relationships, the more frustrated I get. Even though my desire is for that abundant life, the shalom life that God offers. And what he's saying here is if you would yield to him, be filled with him, and pray, God is going to blow your mind. And that's what he did in this thing called the church. So here's a big idea for today. Pray for Christ's love to keep Christ's body united. In the midst of pastors posting stuff that tries to divide the church, in the midst of maybe you've got friction with people in your small group, in the midst of all that, pray for Christ's love to keep Christ's body united. Christ's love is the glue that holds us all together, that holds Christian marriages and families together, small groups together, Christian staffs and elders and churches together. It's Christ's love that is the glue. Small group questions. Number one, in having only one church for both Jews and Gentiles, God did far beyond what anyone could ask or think. What are some things God has done in and through your life far beyond what you could ask or think? So however old you are, what has God done far beyond what you could ask or think? And number two, Christ's love is the glue that keeps his church unified. How have you seen that love displayed at City of Refuge, and how can we pray for City of Refuge? And we mentioned this too, and this is just thankfulness for all of you in here. I get comments regularly from visitors who come, and they'll say, you know what, I have never felt more loved than when I visit City of Refuge. And so in 2 weeks, I'm speaking at this conference here in Houston, the No Need Among You conference, and many of you have signed up for that. And what I'm going to address in that conference, one of the things is, what is the secret sauce about City of Refuge? How is it that we have now been here 21 years, and where God's using us here in the church and in the community? What is the secret sauce? And y'all remember like Big Macs growing up? When I was a kid, if you could eat a Big Mac by yourself, that was a mark that you achieved manhood. So I remember when I was like 11, like I ate a Big Mac by myself. And you know, Big Mac has that secret sauce. Can I tell you what it is? It's Thousand Island dressing, right? Anyway, what is the secret sauce that keeps City Refuge glued together? Is it leadership? Is it music? What is it? And I would say it's the love of Christ. My prayer is that we would grow in that. I love you all in here, and I pray that we would all be filled up to all the fullness of God, and that we would grow in our love for God and our love for one another. And for next week, number three, read Ephesians 4, 1 through 16 to prepare for next week. We're going to start getting into the application part of all that we've looked at in the first three chapters of Ephesians. Well, by now, you've seen this once united liquid has now become divided again. The Jew and Gentile, the black and white, the Aggies and Longhorns have separated again. But what I've found, if you remember, I took some food science classes. I was going to minor in food science in college. Is there something that cooks and bakers use to bring oil and water together? And that is known as, anybody know? Eggs, right, the egg yolks. Egg yolks have something in them called an emulsifier. And an emulsifier has an affinity, a love for both water molecules and also oil molecules. Are y'all with me? And so what it does is, since it has a love for water and a love for oil, it brings the two together and will not allow the two to separate. So what I did, I found something known as lecithin, which is also an emulsifier. And I added some red food coloring in it to represent the blood and love of Christ. So here's some emulsifier. And this is what God does. 1. So what happens is the emulsifiers now grab some oil because there's love for oil and a love for water. And now the two which were once separated have now become, wow, science, thank you for that. Because they're hydrophilic, phileo, right? It's the Greek word phileo. I would add they're not hydrophilic, they're hydroagapeic, right? It's the agape. It's the unconditional love of God that brings us together, that unites us together. So now if I leave this setting here, even until tomorrow morning, I can come back to work tomorrow morning, this will not separate because the two which were once separate have now become one. And that's what God has done through the love and sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He's brought Republican and Democrat, elephants and donkeys together. He's brought Jew and Gentile together, black and white together, Korean and Japanese together, rich and poor together. He's become educated and uneducated together, rich and poor, all together in one body. And that is what holds us together. The bond or the glue is Christ's love. Let's pray. God, we're so grateful for your love. You didn't just sit in heaven and say that you loved us, but you demonstrated that, Romans 5:8, that while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. And so, God, we pray now, not just for City of Refuge and for the small groups and for the marriages and families and friendships represented here, but, God, for the church around the world, and especially during this very volatile time in America, we pray that the church would be united, that the love of Jesus Christ would bond us. God, we may not vote the same. God, we may not read the same books and watch the same movies, enjoy the same music. We may offend one another. We may get on each other's nerves. But God, I pray now that we would be filled to all the fullness, a greater capacity with the Holy Spirit, moment by moment, day by day. And God, the outcome, the supernatural outcome of being filled with the Holy Spirit would be the radical, unconditional love of Jesus Christ. And that love would bond us together, that the two would become one, not just in a spiritual sense, in the cosmic reality, but God, in a relational sense as well, that you would bond together, Jew and Gentile, black and white, employee and employer, rich and poor, you would bond us together through the love of Jesus Christ, God. And God, as we are coming up on Ephesians chapter 4, 5, and 6, we're going to look at the natural outworkings of that, of forgiving one another, of in being in community and marriage with one, and in marriage, and also speaking truth to one another. So God, I pray now, as we prepare to look at that over the next few weeks, God, that moment by moment, day by day, our prayer would be the same prayer that Paul prayed, that we would be filled to all fullness with the Spirit, and both understand and experience the love of Jesus Christ, God. That Christ would have a home, that no place in our lives and our hearts would be off limits to Him. Our thought life, our work life, our relational life, nothing would be off limits to Him. That He would have free reign to go in and examine and change any area of our lives, God. That would be our prayer. And we ask this all in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.